I got a card here. I want to know what you think of a person that sends a birthday card like this. There's a guy sitting at a table in a restaurant, and there's a waiter holding up two menus. And it said, "Would you like to see your body is the temple of God menu or life is short whoopee menu?" Thanks, Goldie. Praise the Lord. Well, what do you got on the menu this morning, Lord? That's what we're concerned about. We're tired of all this natural food. We need some spiritual stuff. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. From him which is and which was and is to come. Revelations 1:4. I just wrote that down this morning. From him which is. Where is he? Oscar's been talking. I've heard him a few times out of his mouth talk about God is. Which is. Where is God? He's in us. And he is omnipotent. Praise God. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's like the air. He's everywhere. And he's omniscient. His mind controls everything throughout all the universes that we can see and the ones that we can't see. His mind is everywhere. It's just like his omnipresence. He's everywhere. He fills all things. He's in all things. He created all things. And he's omnipotent. Have you ever meditated on that word omnipotent? I started doing that a couple of years back, and it really, really started helping my spiritual life. When you stop and think about the fact that God is almighty, God is all powerful, that there really isn't any other power anywhere that has to be submissive to him, or he has to be submissive to them, or let me take that back, that he has to be submissive to. We have to be submissive to the Lord. But he is all power. And when you really meditate on that, it starts dawning on you that there really is no power over you other than him. And it starts dispelling a lot of the things that we believed, that people have shared with us from time to time, very well-intended people that have shared with us. Talk to us about the devils and the demons, and how almost under every rock and behind every bush, there's a demon. You know who I'm talking about. You get around dear saints today, and they're very fearful. Satan's always picking on them. But Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me." Yes. Now, whether Satan is in the heavenlies or in the earthlies, I don't care. Because Jesus said, "All the power has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now you go. Now you go. because I'm in you and my power is going to work through you. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. I can't remember who said that, but it was a good saying, Winston Churchill or somebody. So, from him which is, and is in us. Amen? And which was. What do you mean, Lord, which was? Just this morning, he said, well, I was on a cross, but I'm not anymore. I was on Calvary. I died on Calvary. They buried me, but I rose again. But it's important that you understand in order to come into this life that you died with me too on Calvary. It wasn't just me, the Lord says, that died. But you were buried with me in your baptism. And Christ said, it's no longer I that liveth. I was crucified with Christ. Do you know that you're dead? And even the scriptures, Paul says, consider yourself or reckon yourself, S-E-L-F, reckon yourself dead. Reckon that lower life, that old life, dead, gone, buried, washed away. Well, how come, Lord, it still afflicts me all the time? I'm not saying that he doesn't rear his ugly head, because there is a residue that's left in us. And we've got to get our minds renewed to what he did on Calvary. You're going to start hearing in the days ahead a lot of sermons on the finished work of Jesus Christ and what transpired at Calvary. And I've said this before, but when John was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day, the scripture says the first thing he did was he looked behind him. And he looked behind at the cross of Calvary. And you're going to find that as you start entering into the day of the Lord, as you start moving in the realm of the Spirit of the Father, the first thing he's going to say to you is, let's go back to Calvary. Let's go back. And I want you to understand what happened at Calvary. I want you to realize that it's not you that liveth anymore. You died with me on Calvary. Paul said, I was crucified with Christ. And in order for us to understand this life that we have inherited, this life that we are walking in now, we've got to understand our death. I know you might expect me to say his death, but his death was my death. And when I start waking up to the reality that it's no longer Jim Wilson's lower self, old man, soul life anymore, but that it's Christ living in me and in unity with me and in harmony with me and flowing out of me, and that he is all powerful, and that everywhere I go, I have his mind and I have his power working on his behalf through me, on my behalf. When I start meditating on those things, all of a sudden, this victory starts rising up inside of me. Because I realize I've been identifying with the wrong man. And we all have. Because for years we walked in the old man, that old lower nature, serving self. My son David sent me a tape some months back that a man had preached on the Wizard of Oz. And it really was a neat message. And the Lord started bringing some of it back to me here just in the last couple of days. And there's really a neat point to be had in the Wizard of Oz. And And it was, you know, Dorothy with the three characters. They were off on the yellow brick road. And, of course, the lion, he wanted courage. He was always fearful. And he wanted to be brave because he was a lion. And he couldn't understand, I'm a lion and I don't have any courage and I'm not brave and I'm always fearful. And then the scarecrow, you know, he wanted wisdom and knowledge. You know, I'm just nothing but a scarecrow. I just wish I had some knowledge and some wisdom and some intelligence. And then, of course, the Tin Man was always boo-hooing because he needed a heart and he wanted to be empathetic like everybody else. He wanted to have compassion for people. And so they went searching for all these beautiful attributes that they wanted as part of their character. And so they started off on the yellow brick road in the process of searching for this wizard of Oz that had all the answers for them, that was going to give them all the gifts. And so they started out in their processing, just like we do. We start getting processed. But anyway, to make a long story short, they finally come to the wizard. And all the wizard did was started talking to them, I think, individually. And he said to the lion, he said, you've always wanted courage and you've always wanted to be brave. But he said, don't you see that in your trip here that every time that the group was in danger, you were the first one that went to the forefront to protect them? And he said to the scarecrow, you want wisdom and intelligence. He says, but didn't you realize how everybody always turned to you when they wanted answers? And you supply the answers to them. And the other one, the Tin Man, wanted a heart, and he was the one that was always crying and compassionate when somebody was, you know, life was in jeopardy or they got hurt. It was always the Tin Man that felt so bad for them. And the wizard pointed these things out to all of them. And so it dawned on them, we already possess these things. We kept looking for them. We kept trying to make them happen. You know, it's like the mind of Christ. Jesus didn't say, try and have the mind of Christ. He said, let this mind that is in you, let it. Just let it. He didn't say, try and obtain it. Try and get it. Just let it. Because the omniscient mind of God is already part of you. The two of you are one. And when you start meditating on these things and realizing what was accomplished in your death at Calvary through his death, you start realizing that you need to start identifying with the Christ in you instead of all these other things that have afflicted us. There's a short poem that the Lord gave me, and it pretty much sums up everything that I'm going to be saying here this morning. And I'm going to give it to you at the beginning instead of at the end. And it says, I see the dawning of this new day. I see a people going this new and living way. The way is truly clear to see as we draw near and meditate on the Christ in thee. So continue to fix your minds on Christ above, and you'll understand his perfection and love. And again, the scriptures don't say, try and have this mind. It says you already have this mind. And as you meditate, as you get quiet before the Lord, all of a sudden, these things will start coming to you like a ticker tape on the inside. And let me show you here that God kept laying meditation on my heart. This really is a key, I believe, in coming in unity and coming in a harmony with God. Because as you start meditating on Jesus Christ, you know, you might want to just take one scripture, or you might want to just go back to a quiet place, be still and know that he is God, and just sit down and, like one old man said, I just go back at all hours of the night And I sit here and I say, Lord, I'm here. I don't want anything. I just want to know you. I don't go back with a prayer list. I don't go back with the aches and pains that I have. I just go back and I sit there and say, Lord, I just come to know you. That was his prayer. And if we will start praying that kind of a prayer and spend, if all you got is 5 minutes, then start spending 5 minutes. But if you'll do that on a continual basis, I'll guarantee you it'll turn into an hour and maybe even longer, because you'll start becoming one with him and you'll start breaking into this heavenly realm, and you'll come to the place where you realize that the heavens are within you. And they're not out on some cloud in Jupiter and Mars, but the heavens of God, that the kingdom of God is within you. In Genesis, Isaac, it said, Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw. Isaac, this goes back thousands of years. This isn't something that these crystal ball characters came up with, meditation. You know, today the word meditation scares a lot of people because they're using it, whatever they are. But Isaac, back in Genesis, it said he went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw and beheld. And that's all the Lord is saying. Just come back and meditate on me. And lift up your eyes, and I'll lift up your understanding. I'll lift up your consciousness of who's inside of you. And you'll start seeing. And when you start seeing, all these other things that have shackled you will start falling off of you. It'll just come off of you. All these things that you've tried within yourself to get off of you, you'll wake up to the realization that I don't really have them. They were a figment of my old imagination. And when you come into the Holy of Holies and you're around the mercy seat, and all of a sudden his imagination, his thoughts, his mind starts flowing through you, there's tremendous victory in that. Joshua said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, you know, that's a wonderful promise right there. Because what God is saying is, if you'll do this, you'll see an outward manifestation of doing this meditation. Because Joshua said, if you will come, God speaking through Joshua, if you will come and meditate on my word. What word is that? The scriptures? Well, yes, the scriptures are wonderful. But the living word is inside of you. Christ is in you. The living word. Now, I use the Bible a lot to open the door to in here. And I'll get a scripture. And I'll start meditating on that scripture. And when I meditate on that scripture, the heavens start opening inside of me. I found out that when I started my walk in Christ, that if I could just memorize from Genesis to Revelation, I'd probably be a very spiritual guy, but I wasn't really making great progress. I was here. I knew a lot of scripture. I knew a lot of the word, which puffed me up. And I let everybody know how knowledgeable I was. And then when I really started coming to the end of my yellow brick road, then the Lord said, you know, it's good that you've come to the end of yourself now, son, like the prodigal. Now let's sit down and talk. But Joshua said, if you'll meditate in my word, then you'll make your way prosperous and you will have good success. That's kind of cool. Every businessman should learn that verse. Now, I know carnally, a lot of times we hold these verses very close to our heart. Beloved, above all, God wants you to prosper. Hallelujah. Two Cadillacs in every garage. But the real prosperity, really, that the Lord is talking about, does God want you to be blessed? I want you to have whatever God wants you to have. You know, if God wants to give you $10 million, then I'm not going to curse what God's doing in your life. He wants you to have $10 million. And we shouldn't curse the wealthy man or the guy that lives in Indian Hill. We're always coming down on the Indian Hill guys. The up-and-outers need the Lord Jesus Christ just as bad, if not worse, than the down-and-outers. Amen? Sometimes they need the Lord worse, more, because they think that they're full and have need of nothing. The Laodicean church age, the age that we're living in right now. You're poor, you're blind. You know, come and sup with me. Supper, that's the last meal of the day, and that's where we're at. We're in the Feast of Tabernacles. We're in the supper. The breakfast was 2,000 years ago, I believe. Now, I'm just a little phraseology here, but I think the breakfast was 2,000 years ago when the young disciples, when they had their lamb and eggs, you know. Now we're eating the whole rack of lamb because he said he saved the best wine until now, until last. And I really believe in my heart, and I'm not trying to push anything on anybody here, but I believe that the Lord has shown me that we are coming and have come to the ends of the age. And I believe that we have entered into a new day in him. And the day of the Lord is going to rise up in the hearts of God's people. It's been there. I mean, the day that you accepted Jesus Christ, I believe I entered and we entered into the day of the Lord, the day you accepted Jesus. Because you entered into that realm of the Spirit, the heavens opened to you. You got the warm, fuzzy feelings. I know I had a wonderful experience. Sometimes I hate to even talk about it because people say, yeah, I never had an experience like that. Well, maybe I was dumber and he had to do a lot of things to get through to me and he didn't have to do that with you. But I had a glorious experience with God. The heavens literally opened up inside of me. And I was doing wonderful until I stumbled into the denominations. Test? Okay, thank you. You know, I stumbled into the denominations. I started sharing my testimony, and one minister told me, he said, well, that's wonderful, that experience of grace that you had in the Lord, but it will go away. And when it does, I want to caution you not to be angry with God. You know, instead of saying, son, that's just the beginning of this wonderful trip. That's just the foretaste, the first fruit of this salvation. Man, you ain't even seen the beginning of this thing. Now you keep your eyes on him and this thing's going to grow inside of you. And you're going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. No, I was told, it'll go away. Don't get mad. I turned the TV on this morning. A gentleman was ministering, had a very large church. And all I heard him say was, there is a sin principle that's growing in you. And every day you must be purged by the Spirit of the living God. And I said to myself, there's no sin principle growing in me. It's dead. The only thing that's growing in me is Christ Jesus is growing in me. And it just gets, in the words of Jaime Rubinstein, it just gets gooder and gooder. But how are we going to deliver the body of Christ when we tell them you have a sin principle growing in you? How are you going to deliver this church that's in this world today with the spirit of this world, with the pornography, with everything that's going on in this world? The only thing that's going to deliver them is if they wake up, like Paul said, awake unto righteousness. Awake. How am I going to wake up? Every time I go back and realize I died with Christ. It's not I that liveth anymore, but it's Christ Jesus that's living in me. Psalm says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also at work, at all my work. Excuse me. I will meditate also of all thy work, not my work. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Rich brought up a good point this morning in Sunday school. That's exactly what Brother Rich said. We need to meditate on the wonders of God. Isaiah said that he's wonderful. In other words, he was saying he's full of wonders. If you meditate on him, he's full of wonders. It's exciting. What is God going to do next? The heavens are in control of this earth. The body has got to wake up and realize the earth is not in control of the heavens. We get so concerned about bombs falling and food shortages and water contamination. But I got news for you. The heavens declare. It isn't the earth. God isn't waiting on the earth. He isn't waiting on the evil. God's in control of all the evil. He's controlling it all. God's waiting on you to come to maturity and be his mature son and daughter so he can send you forth into the earth. That's what he's doing. He's maturing a body right now. He's bringing us into agreement with him. He's raising our consciousness up to where his consciousness is. We're taking on his mind. It's dawning in us. The glory of God is raising up and dawning inside of a people right now. We are the dawning. Jesus is the dawning of a new day inside his people. And the people are starting to see throughout the world the dawning of a new day. This isn't going to come out there. The kingdom of God doesn't come with signs of observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. God dealt with the exterior world when he walked 2,000 years ago with his disciples. And he said, you see all these great buildings, this big temple here in Jerusalem? There's not going to be one stone left upon another. And it wasn't 70 years later, I guess it was Rome, that came in and destroyed and wiped out the temple and everything. Why did God allow that? It was a natural sign to say, hey guys, the old party's over. The law's gone. There's a new sheriff in town. His name's Jesus. And then he left and he said, I'm not going to leave you guys orphans. I'm coming back to you. The world won't see me, but you'll see me. And they all went up to a room to wait for the promise. They didn't know what the promise was. He just said, go wait in the upper room for the promise. That's where we're at right now. I'm waiting for the promise. What promise am I waiting for? Well, I think it's the manifestation of the sons of God is what I think I'm waiting for. And it's coming. And the Lord says, be patient. Be patient. It's coming. It's coming. I can hear the trumpets blowing right now. Can't you hear the trumpets? Can't you hear the new message that's coming forth? Can't you hear the victory, the overcoming word that's coming forth in the earth today? Praise God. If you have ears to hear, you will hear. And if you're not hearing, God desires for you to hear. He hasn't chosen a few select people and said, well, you're out. I'll pick you and not you. He said, if you want to be a vessel of honor, a vessel of gold, then cleanse yourself and come to me. Give up your soul life. And I'll make you a vessel of gold. Actually, what he'll do is he'll make you realize you already are a vessel of gold. You just don't know it. And the body has got to be told. The lady that's in the wilderness has got to be told, come out of the wilderness. It's over. The battle is over. It's won. Your warfare is over. Come out and tell the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died not only for your sins, but for the sins of the world. They were all wiped away. We weren't the only lucky few. We're the first fruits of this thing. And he's going to use us to go and redeem the rest of the world. And his manifestation, it's here. It's here. And as we continue into this new day, it's going to be a greater and greater manifestation of his life. We've got to stop procrastinating. We are all, each and every one of us, are procrastinators. What do you mean by that, Brother Jim? Well, what I mean is this. We say we believe every word in the Bible, but not now. I believe every scripture in the Bible, but not now. I'm going to, because Jesus is coming. And when he comes and when he gets here, well, he's already here, folks. He's already here. And we've got to, you know, I went and I started looking up scriptures that had the word now in it. And it said, he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now fulfilled, are now ready. And he sent them at supper time. It's a later hour in the day. Where are we at now? We're in a later hour in the day. And he's sending his servants right now at supper time. And he's saying, hey, guys, it's all prepared. It's all laid out right here. This Feast of Tabernacles is all right here. Just come and feast on what I've already done for you. Just come and feast. Get fat on this lamb. Eat the whole lamb. Don't leave anything. It's supper time. It's time to eat a rack of lamb. Jesus said, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Got a tree of life inside of you. You also got that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Jesus said, when I died on Calvary, and when you died with me, the axe was laid to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All that's left in you is a tree of life. That's all you are. You're a tree of life, planted by living waters. Everything that you do will prosper. Your leaf will not wither. Your roots go down deep. And that's what God wants to happen right now. He wants the roots to go down deep. We've been through a lot of processing, saints. We've heard 100,000 messages on processing, and they've all been good. They've all been good. But the Lord says, we're in the hour of provision now. Not processing. Provision. It's already here, tin man. You already have the heart you've been looking for. Well, God, I just want to walk in more love, God. Well, God is, get back to that is, Brother Oscar. God is love. It isn't God has love. God is love. Now, what is you? What is you? He's in you. Christ in me. My hope of glory. Well, brothers and sisters, it's an endless flow. God has opened up the wells of salvation in each and every one of us. There's no stopping point. There just really isn't any stopping point. God is out of the box. He's out of the box. And there really is no end to this river of life. It continues to flow and flow and flow out of our innermost being. And today, remember, God is dealing with his kingdom, and it is a hidden kingdom. It is an invisible kingdom. It is inside of each and every one of you. 2,000 years ago, no, it was a physical kingdom. And God spoke to them in natural signs and so on and so forth. And there's still, we can see God in the visible. We can see his invisible hand in the visible world. We can see those things. But if you're looking for Jesus Christ to appear, and if you want to hasten the day of the Lord, look inside. Stop looking to Israel. He's not coming to the temple in Israel. I'm sorry. Is there any greater temple than Jesus Christ? Why would he want to come to a brick and mortar? Why would the Father send? He is the temple. We are the temple now. God dwells in a people. John saw it when he was in the day of the Lord. He saw into the realm of spirit. Paul saw it when he went up to the third heaven. He saw it. He said, there was things given to me I can't even discuss with you. Because Paul knew it was for our day. It was for our church. It's for us, brothers and sisters. It's for us. It wasn't for them. They longed to look into these things, even the angels, the prophets, but it was for us. Praise God. You talk about a chosen generation, raising up a royal priesthood to show forth the praises and the glory of God. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for raising our consciousness. He is in every one of us. He was on the cross. You were with him. You died with him. You were buried with him. And he is to come. He is to come. And you are the one, says the Lord, that I am coming in. It is the resurrection power of Calvary that is manifesting in you, in this earth, in your earth, in this hour. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord, heaven and earth, are becoming one. The atmosphere in heaven and the atmosphere in earth. It's going to create storms. It's going to create storms. There will be natural signs. But the storm comes to drive away the refuge of lies. And after a storm, everything gets clear. Everything smells better. Everything tastes better. Yes, there are storms coming. Yes, there are. But fear not. Fear not. You saw me speak to the storm when the disciples were in the boat. I was speaking to them, not the storm. Once their hearts calmed down, the storm calmed down. Yes. Praise you, Lord. Everything works to his glory and for our good. Nothing can touch you unless it's part of his plan. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And take that scripture with you this afternoon. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going to be going through. I don't know what I'm going to be going through. Mars didn't know she was going to be going through cancer. But no weapon formed against you will prosper. Praise you, Lord. Cindy, give us a song. We'll close. That's Brother Oscar. If you want to share anything? If you want to share anything. Okay.
If the trouble you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, you can be sure the Lord has His hands on you. Safe and secure, He will never abandon you, for you are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you.
Amen.
Now He who began a good work in you He who began a good work in you, He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He is faithful to complete it in you. If the trouble you're facing is slowly replacing your hope with despair, or the process is long and you're losing your song in the night, oh, you can be sure the Lord has His hand on you. Safe and secure, He will never abandon you, for you are His treasure, and He finds His pleasure in you. Now He who began the good work in you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, He who began the good work in you, yes, He is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He is faithful to complete it in you. Yes, He who started the work, He is faithful to complete it in you.
Don't get mad at me. I got one real quick thing I want to share with you. When Dave Skinner and I was on a trip and we went around visiting some wonderful ministries, there was an old brother, 87 years old, named Rudy Jones, and he shared a dream with me. And he said in this dream, he says, I had passed and I went up into heaven. Of course, that isn't really his theology, but, you know, in the dream, he went up in heaven and there was a guard shack there, and there was an individual in the guard shack, and he said, so I walked up to these gates, and the guard said to me, sign in and go on through the gates. Just sign in, the gates will open up to you. So Rudy, he said, I signed in Rudy Jones. And the gates didn't open. And the guard said, did you sign your name? And he said, yeah. Are you sure? He said, oh, no. Rudy Calvin Jones. He said, Rudy, when you were on the earth, he said, did you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he said, well, of course I did. And he said, well, then when I ask you to sign your name, I thought you'd sign your real name. And so he says, I went back and I wrote C-H-R-I-S-T. And he said, as soon as I crossed the T, the gates swung open. You are Christ.
Yes.
And go and identify with Christ today. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
If anybody needs prayer, feel free to come forward. We'll be more than happy to pray for you.